You know who it is.
And infinite Ngozi.
For inspiration, information, and enjoyment. It's that time again, every Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Tune in and talk to
Amos and Infinite Ngozi.
On Armed Forces Radio 107.7.
Hello guys, this is Kid Wire, and I'm on the Youth Arena Show with
Amobs and Infinite Ngozi.
Youth Arena, on your dial.
You're listening to Financial Literacy on Youth Arena, 107.7 FM, with your host,
Amobs and Infinite Ngozi.
Youth Arena on your dial.
This is your tented dial on Forces Radio 107.7 FM, the tented dial of Nigeria Military. It's Youth Arena on your dial right here, right now. A very fantastic evening. My name is Mobs, and of course, I'm with my able co-host,
Infinite Ngozi.
Welcome. Well, it's once again Youth Arena Show, your tented dial Armed Forces Radio 107.7 FM. On Youth Arena, we are here to educate, to
entertain,
to motivate,
inform,
and empower youth.
That's right.
And we are Youth Arena. Yeah, if you're following here, if you're a good follower of this program, I hope you have learned a lot from our financial literacy that we've been talking about. This is the third week now, yes?
Today
is
right.
The third week. Last week, we talked about
managing your money and keeping records.
And keeping record. And previous week, we talked about need
versus want.
Want, yes. Today again, Angie is loaded, so we are here to bombard her with all our questions. She's loaded to take us through that journey of... Okay, today's topic, let me just let you guys know today's topic. Today's topic, we'll be talking about financial planning. So today on the Youth Arena Show, we're talking about financial planning. So if you're youth out there, you really want to learn something about this one, stay glued to your radio. Call that person that you want them to learn something. Because Angie, and just to chip in this one, someone came to the station within the week.
Okay.
And the person was like, our program is awesome.
Aww.
You know, the person said she learned a lot about
Aww.
Money. You know, and you always talk about Bella.
Yeah.
Yes, and Bella too learned a lot.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
Let me see. I'll see what investments Bella make by Christmas. That'll make me know if she's learning a lot.
Yes.
And if she's able to double her salary.
Mm.
I have a secret goal that Bella doubles her salary in a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we'll see if she learns the things from the class and then she can double her salary. Mm.
So we are here to inform, to educate youth
mm-hmm.
on how to handle money.
That's right.
Because it's not easy to handle money,
yeah.
NG.
Yeah.
Yes, except you learn it. So,
and also, it's not something people teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to school, it's not something that you learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think families sit down together and start learning about money.
Money, yeah.
So really, if nobody teaches it, where are you supposed to learn it from?
Mm.
So it's very important. Because it's the one thing that we use across the world for trade that everybody recognizes.
Mm.
So it's something that it's important that everybody understands how it works, what to do with it, how to save it, invest it, grow it. Yeah.
Of course. And just to let you know, this program is sponsored by the Bankers Committee.
That's right.
Yes. So they are here to educate you about money.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're here to educate you about fraud as well.
Yes, exactly. Mm. There is a fraud prevention campaign that's going on now with the Bankers Committee. like a money sense, mm. and it's about not giving your card details to anybody, not allowing people who call you on the phone have access to your card details, your account number, your BVN, your PIN.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone contacts you and they're calling you, they're emailing you, they're sending you a WhatsApp message, mm. and they ask you anything that's specific to your account, such as a BVN or PIN number, or even the numbers on your card, yeah. you're not supposed to give that detail out to anyone. Even if they say they're calling from your bank, rather, you could tell them that you're going to go to the branch yourself mm. and you're going to do whatever. So if people call to say that your account is going to be locked, you can just tell them, I'm going to go to the branch and I'll take care of it when I get there. If they send you a WhatsApp message, know that it's fake. If they send you an email and it's asking you to click on a link on the email, do not click on that link. Mm. Instead, you can go onto their website by yourself mm. and then look for whatever it is. So if they're saying you need to update your details and you should click on a link, don't click on the link. Open a separate browser, enter the website domain name, and then do what you need to do. And then obviously you could also pop into your branch or call your account officer. But at no time and under any circumstance should you give away your card number,
mm-hmm.
PIN number,
mm-hmm.
BVN,
okay.
or anything else that's pertaining to your account to anyone who contacts you on the phone or email.
Mm. And of course, talking about that, clicking links, mm-hmm. that's very sensitive because most of us, we have our PIN stored on our cell phone.
Right.
By the time you click that link,
mm-hmm.
those guys doing some stuff up there,
mm-hmm.
they get access to all your information, all your passwords that's saved on your phone.
Right. So there is a possibility that when you're saving data on your phone or your laptop, that people can have access to
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's called a phishing email.
Mm.
And basically, they send you an email that has links that if you click on those links, they start to go through your computer,
yeah,
right?
You have access.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a fraud prevention. Just don't click on any links.
Mm.
But again, they might not use a computer link. They might give you a phone call.
Mm.
And if they do call you, then don't answer the phone.
Mm.
Oh, if you answer the phone, sorry, don't give them details on the phone. Don't send anybody details via text message. Always tell them that you'll go to the branch instead.
Mm.
So guys, you're listening to You and Your Money, a 6-week sponsored show sponsored by the Bankers Committee in order to give financial education to you, anyone who's listening. And like Mobs has said, we spend the first week talking about needs versus wants.
Mm-hmm.
In the second week, we talked about managing your money and keeping records.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in week 3 and we're going to be talking about financial planning. And budgeting. I love talking about financial planning and budgeting. I have so much information that we're going to talk about after the break.
Yes, we'll be right back. Do yourself that favor. Stay glued to your radio.
Share them with anybody for phone, text, or even internet. This message now from Bankers Committee.
From 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. This show is the best in Abuja, the best in Nigeria, the best in the world. It's Youth Arena on 107.7 FM. Every Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. We got you covered with information, inspiration, education, and more. People all over town are raving about this. Don't miss Amobs and Infinite Ngozi. We are in great hands. Youth Arena, Tuesdays on 107.7 FM.
Kada a bayar da kowace bayani na banki ko ta waya ko ta yanar gizo.
wannan sako ce daga kwamitin ma'aikatan banki.
You're listening to Financial Literacy on Youth Arena 107.7 FM with your host,
Amob and Infinite Ngozi.
Youth Arena on your dial.
All right, if you case you just tune in, it's your 10th Alarm Forces Radio, and the show that is on right tonight is the Youth Arena Show, talking about you and the and your money.
That's right.
So straight up we go to our topic for today, talking about financial planning. So my first question, we go as like this: what is financial planning, NG?
Okay, so we're talking about financial planning as part of our program that's sponsored by the Bankers Committee. And financial planning is an important part of managing your money, right? So in order to do this, you've got to think about your plans and your goals for yourself and for your family, right? Now, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we talked about needs versus wants. And that's making sure that you know the things that you need to survive on, and then the things that you want, and settling those needs before the wants. So with financial planning, when you look at the goals that you have, for instance, you might want to further education, you might want to pay for further education, that has a financial cost. And you put that together in a budget so that you know that, okay, this week or this year, I plan to do a higher education course, maybe a qualification course, a training program, and it's going to cost a certain amount of money. You put that down, and then if you're married or if you have children, you look at the costs that your children might incur. So a child might need money because they play football. So they want to pay for their membership dues in the school football,
yeah.
Or they need to buy shoes, right? Football boots. Mm. So you put that all down in your financial plan, right? Bearing in mind that your needs change over time, it's important that at the beginning of the year, you write down everything that you need to spend money on that year. And then look at every single source of income that you have that year. And that's how you create a financial plan.
Okay.
So a financial plan is a piece of paper, a document, anything that you are recording, how much you need to live on and how much money you make, and then planning how you're going to spend the money based on the income you've got coming in.
Mm. So now, this question, everybody every day asks about this question. So it goes like this: what do we do to have enough finances to achieve our goals?
Right, okay. So
everybody has this question.
Yeah, so everybody is always wondering about how to get more money, right? If you're on social media, every time I'm on the internet, every post I see has something to do with money.
Yeah.
People are either trying to teach you how to save money or how to make extra money. So a big part of financial planning and budgeting is really to think about how to make more money, right?
Yep.
So that you can achieve the goals that you have. Last week, when we talked about planning your money, we talked about the fact that if you wanted to increase your income, you could get an extra job, you could start to invest, you could start to save, and that will give you some elements of financial freedom. So it's the same thing. If you want to get enough money to achieve your financial goals, you need to start having a savings habit and having a savings culture. And a lot of people feel like you've got to make a lot of money to save. But you can save on a little, you can save on a lot. It's actually just the habit that matters, not the amount. So for instance, if you, the national minimum wage, if you have maybe 30,000 coming in every month, it's a very low amount. We know that. And it's very difficult to manage all the expenses that we have to pay, right? But even with 30,000, it is possible to save. People who make less than 30,000 are saving. Like I know during youth service, we had, you know, I think we were paid 15,000 at the time. Okay. And I had coppers who were friends of mine who were saving from that 15,000. Yeah, one of them, she was a parent. So she actually had a baby, and her goal was to save up enough money because at the end of the service year, her baby will be old enough to start attending school.
Wow.
So from 15,000 a month, she was saving money so that she could afford her child's school fees by the end of NYSC. So one of the things we can do is save money now. So if you're listening, you've got to start saving money now. Mm. Not when you get the promotion, not when you get the pay rise, now. And you've got to look for areas in which you can save money, even though it can be difficult to begin with. But I think that all of us have little areas that money could be slipping out of our pockets that we don't know we can save, no matter how small, because it's not the amount, but the habit that matters.
Mm.
Now, the second thing that we can do is find a way to generate more income. And this is a part of Nigeria that I'm so proud of, because we're hustlers,
right? Absolutely.
All of us have a side gig. Anybody that you meet has a side business that they're doing to generate money. Right? So Bella works with me, but she has her side business selling vegetables. Don't mind her. She has her side business selling vegetables, right? I'm doing this. And I have my side business doing this. Mm-hmm. So this is my main gig and my side gig. But we all have side gigs that we do in order to increase our opportunity for making money. And that's a good way to bring in income to the family. Mm. For instance, if I think last week we talked about my friend who bakes, her full-time job is that she's a lawyer.
Wow.
Yeah, so she has a passion to be a creative person. So she bakes these cakes, but it also brings her an income. It also helps her meet new people and she's introduced to people. So you could start by saving, and then secondly, you could increase your income. So if, for instance, and we've had people come on the show, youth who've come to bake, who wanted to make more money, then the other girl, Zara, who wanted to sew to make more money. So there are so many ways, and the footballer.
Yeah.
So we've given out to young people money, grants, equipment to help them develop a side business, because by generating more income, you're able to get money that will sustain you and take care of the bills that you have in the house.
Yeah.
Now, I have been talking, when we did the making money from your mobile phone, we talked about all the different ways you could make money from your phone. As long as you've got a phone, you've got data, you've got enough power.
You even gave out data this period.
Yes, we gave out data. Let people have recharge cards if that was a problem for them. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how you can increase your money from using the camera on your phone, using apps. There's several apps in the Google Play Store or in the Apple Play Store that people can download, and it can help them start a business because you can fix pictures and you can do things with it. We talked about setting up shops for people. So on Instagram or Facebook, you could go to a saturated market like a Kubo and set up a furniture shop for people digitally, because they're selling it face to face, but you could help them. You could go to the other markets outside, on the outskirts, the building materials market. I can't believe I've forgotten the name of it.
Zuba?
No, not Zuba. In where? Day-Day. So yes, you could go to Day-Day and you could set up shops for people in Day-Day with your phone. If you wanted to specialize in electricals or plumbing material, you take pictures of their things and you put it online. We talked about if you wanted to specialize as a photographer and your specialty would be taking pictures of property, and you help people who are renting out their homes by taking pictures and then uploading it on their behalf. So there's so many ways you could increase income. And then if you have a skill, I remember Amobs, you telling me about your skill in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Yes, I still haven't eaten your food.
Okay,
so let me put that out there. I'm still waiting to taste this thing.
Don't worry.
So Amobs boasts that he can...
I can.
That he can throw down a meal and... So that kind of thing could also be a business where people, I mean, I don't even have to tell you guys, you're all Nigerians, you all know that there's several types of businesses that you can start. So another way to increase your income so that you achieve your goals would be to start a side business. But if you're not a business type, because we're not all business people, if you're not a business type, the other thing you could do is at work, try and look for ways to be more valuable at work so that you can negotiate better pay.
Yes.
So depending on where you work and how it works, there's some organizations where you can only get promoted after 3 years or 5 years or a year. But there's some other organizations that are more flexible. And so if you're able to prove your value, especially in the private sector, and the reason why I'm saying private sector is that when somebody owns and runs their business, it's easier for you to have a conversation and negotiate with them
individually
than, if it's a corporation that's a government, because the government will probably have their procedures set in place.
Absolutely.
Therefore, it will be difficult for you if you haven't met that criteria to benefit from a pay rise or promotion if the way that the organization works is that you must be in one rank or one position for 4 years or 5 years. But if you're working with an individual, you could always provide value and keep track of the value that you're providing so that you can then go back and renegotiate your pay so that you can make more money. You don't have to start a business. You could actually make more money from the job that you already have. Now, another way to make sure that you're getting enough resources to fill your goals is to actually make sure that your goals are smart. Now, what does SMART mean? SMART is an acronym. And an acronym means that each letter of the word means a different thing. So SMART is spelled S-M-A-R-T. And that means that your goals need to be S for specific. So when you have a financial goal and you're doing a financial plan, your goal has to be specific, which means that you'll say that on the, let's say, you know, I'm going to make, for instance, an extra 30K, right? So instead of saying, I want to make more money, that's not specific. More money could be 500 naira, more money could be 5,000 naira, more money could be 50.
Okay.
So your goal has to be specific. So it says, I want to make an extra 30K. That's specific. It's not 29, it's not 35.
That's in a range.
Yes, so you choose, well, that's part of SMART. So S is specific, right? So we'll get to timed.
All right.
Yeah. Now, M is for measurable. So it's saying that your goal needs to be measurable. It's not okay just to say that I want to make an extra 30,000, but it needs to be something that you can measure. Right? Now, specific is you're making extra money, right? So let's say, for instance, you can say, I want to make an additional 30,000. And then measurably, you could talk about, I want to make an additional 30,000 a month. Right? That way, each month that goes by, you can measure whether you met your goal or not. And then the next one should be action. So it should be action oriented. Right?
To work towards.
Yes. So you've got to work towards it. And then the next one should be R, which is realistic.
Okay.
Right? So for instance, I can't wake up in the morning and say that I want to make a million every single day. Because it's not realistic, because I am not producing anything that can earn me a million every single day. So I have to be more realistic. And what is realistic for you is different for what is realistic for me, right? Because my million a day is nothing to a Dangote.
Absolutely.
Because he makes so much more than that.
So
a realistic goal for him could be 50 million a day. But it's not a realistic goal for me. Now, a realistic goal for me could be 50K, 100K, but it won't be a realistic goal maybe for my younger cousin that I talked about, who's in NYSE, because he doesn't have the resources, he doesn't have the product he's selling or the services to make him 50K. So he has to do what is realistic for him. Now, what is realistic for him might be 10K, and someone else might be 2K. Someone else might be 100 naira. We're all in a different stage in life. So when you're looking at your own goal, it's got to be your own.
Okay, you have to look at yourself.
Yes.
This is me. What can I do? What can I offer?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the final one, which is what you mentioned before, is time bound. Mm. So it's not okay to just say, I want more money, right? That's not a smart goal.
Really?
Because it's not specific. It doesn't say how much. 50 naira, 1,000 naira, 50,000 naira. It's not measurable because it's like more money, when, how, what amount, right? Because if I then give you 5 naira, you've achieved that goal.
Okay.
Then it's not action oriented. It's not, it could be realistic when you say more money because we haven't said the amount of money. Mm. And then it's not time bound because you haven't said by this date. So when you're financially planning yourself, what you need to think about is whatever goal you set has to have a specific amount. I want to make this amount of money. So you put down this amount of naira.
Okay.
Then it's got to be measurable. Are you making it every week? Are you making it every month? Are you making it by Christmas? Right? Mm. Then it's got to be action oriented to say what you're going to do. Mm. It's got to be realistic for you so that you don't discourage yourself by going to ask for something you can't get. Mm. And it's also good that you choose something realistic so that you don't aim too low, right?
Okay, okay.
So someone like me, I wouldn't go and choose something that is aiming low just so that I can meet the goal. Mm. I've got to meet something that's a little bit of a stretch for me. So something I know that I've earned before and a little bit more.
Okay. Is it like running and you run 50 kilometers today?
Yes.
Like, okay, I want to run 60 tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, something like
so
that.
So it's, yes, a small increment from what you're used to. So if your past job used to pay you 50K a month, you're not going to start looking for jobs that'll pay you 30. Or 40.
Absolutely.
Or 50. Or 51.
Higher.
Yes. Because the last time you worked, right, 50K meant a different amount of rice. It meant a different amount of beans. It meant a different amount of... Mm-hmm. So you can't go back and earn the same thing that you made before. Mm-hmm. But you can't go from 50K to 500K. Right?
Yeah.
Because it could be unrealistic. Because you haven't either offered the service worth 500K, or you as a person haven't grown, or that your market doesn't pay 500K.
Yeah.
So for instance, if you were working as a domestic assistant in someone's house, either cooking and cleaning, and the market rate for that might be 20K or 30K, you can't go from that to 500K. It's an unrealistic goal.
Absolutely.
So it's to look at, okay, if I'm at 20, maybe the next job I'm looking at should be 25 or should be 30 or 35 because at least you know that the market can pay that amount. People are paying that amount. So it's possible to get that amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you aim for a little bit more.
Mm.
So that's sort of to answer the question, you know, a long description of answering the question that you asked,
okay,
which is how we make sure that our financial resources can meet our goal.
Mm.
The first step is to save.
Mm-hmm.
The second step is to make sure you try and find ways to generate more income.
Okay.
And then the third step is to look at ways to set goals, financial goals, and to plan financially in a way that is smart. And SMART stands for specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound.
Wow. In case you just tuned in, it's your Tented Dial Armed Forces Radio 107.7 FM. And of course, NG has been educating us on financial planning. All right, we'll go for a short break. We'll be right back after this. Don't touch your dial.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Listening to the Youth Arena on Armed Forces Radio 107.7 with your hosts,
Amobs and Infinite Ngozi.
Jira Konuche,
Apoki, Apoki Nepenti,
Jira Konuche,
Hasitere Gozi na SMS,
Jira Konuche,
Hasitakwaragia na email, Wanem,
Jira Konuche,
Eyapalaha number, Piniki, Nkawula Kuchi,
Jira.
Ka anyị jiri akọnuche anyị ebe ego anyị dị. Nkọwa ụlọ akụ gị bụ nke gị, enyekwala mmadụ ọ bụla n'ekwentị ma ọ bụ n'ozi SMS. Ozi a si n'aka kọmitii ndị ụlọ akụ na-erute unu.
Hello guys, this is Kid Wire and I'm on the Youth Arena show with
Amobs and Infinite Ngozi.
Listening to Financial Literacy on Youth Arena 107.7 FM with your host,
Amob and Infinite Ngozi.
Arena on your dial.
And you're welcome back to Youth Arena, where we're talking about you and your money. So for the past couple of weeks, Amobs and I have been speaking about you and your money. And this week, we're talking about financial planning and budgeting. But as you know, this show is being sponsored by the Bankers Committee. And they have a message for you to hear. They want you to know that you have to use your money sense. Beware of frauds and scams. Don't respond to any text message, phone call, or email asking you to update your bank information. Don't respond to anyone asking you to disclose sensitive bank details, such as your PIN or your BVN. Also, do not disclose your online or mobile banking details to anyone. Don't give people the numbers on your card. Don't give them your PIN numbers or your BVN. This message is sponsored by the Bankers Committee.
Yes, of course. And Angie has been here. She's on fire. She's been educating us. You know, where I like most is the smart.
Yes.
Where you break that smart thing down.
Yes.
I really like that part. And I hope a lot of youth out there have gotten that.
That's right. Sleeve. Just in case you didn't hear it or in case you were not able to write it all down, what Omobs is referring to is setting SMART goals. Mm. And SMART is an acronym. Each letter means something. So the S means specific, M, measurable, A, actionable, R, realistic, T is time-bound, and that spells SMART. So when you set up a SMART goal, you're able to make sure that your goal is specific, you know the exact amount of money, it's measurable, you know by when and how often, it's actionable, you've put steps in place to achieve that goal, it's realistic, it's close to what you've already done in the past, but a bit more. And then it's time bound. It's saying that by a specific date, you would have achieved it. So saying I want to make more money or I want to save is not a SMART goal because it doesn't have anything to do with the time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with amount, with the action you're going to take. It's not measurable. Yeah?
Yeah.
So yeah, setting SMART objectives helps you achieve your financial goals.
Wow, fantastic, NG. Bringing us to our next question. Talking about what are the benefits of financial planning to an individual or a group of people?
Okay, know? Right. So benefits. The benefits. Okay. Now, that's a good question. So it's one thing for you to know that you need a financial plan and another thing for you to do it. But when you actually do have a financial plan, it's like everything else, right? There are business people who say what you don't measure, you can't manage, which means that if you're not measuring your money, you can't manage your money. If you don't measure the food that you eat, you can't manage your weight. Anything that we don't measure, we can't manage. And there's an expression, it's by Winston Churchill, that says, by failing to plan, you are planning to fail.
Absolutely.
And another expression that says, a goal without a plan is just a wish. So the importance of planning our money is that we don't spend all our time just wishing, right? We actually set up a goal and then we put a plan together and then we're more likely to achieve it. There's another one that I like, a quote. It's kind of hard to get your mind around it, but it says, anyone who plans to go nowhere will get there. So basically, if you don't have a plan, right, that means you're planning to go nowhere. And you'll get there, which means you'll get nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
So it's important for us to plan because it helps us achieve our goals. It helps us achieve our dreams. It also helps us become more disciplined in the way that we spend. If you think about it, a lot of us, most people in the world, feel like we don't make enough money. So we're already coming from a point where the money is not enough for the amount of things that we want to use it for. So when you don't even plan it, you don't even plan how you're going to spend it, it's even worse.
Funny enough, just to say, Angie, do you know there are a lot of people, I want money, and they cannot count money. properly.
What, in what way? What do you mean?
You know, they don't even know how to handle money. When you give them just a 50K, mm-hmm. it takes them 2 hours to count.
Right. Are you talking about physically counting it?
No, I'm talking about you aspiring to make money.
Yes.
And you don't even know how to handle money.
Right. Okay. So there's the issue of physically handling money, and then there's the issue of like planning your expenses, right? Mm. So some of the things that happens, especially with holidays coming up, mm. people get money for the holiday, mm. and then they don't know what they did with the money, and by the time it's January the 1st or 2nd, that money is finished. Mm. Now, financial planning helps you not to get into that position where you are running out of money mm. before the time comes. And you've got all these things that you want to spend money on, and, you know, the money's finished. Mm-hmm. I told you about when I was younger, and if I got paid, I would buy the things that came first. So I was paying on a first-come, first-served basis. Mm. I wasn't planning. I just thought, oh, my money has come in, and then a bill comes the next day, I'll pay that bill. Mm. Then maybe if my friend is having a party, I'll buy a gift. And it's, you know, and I thought I was being a good financial manager. Mm. But the truth is I wasn't, because I hadn't prioritized and I hadn't planned my money. So what would then happen is when it came time to pay for electric or phone, my money was finished mm. because I wasn't planning. So planning helps you so that you don't run out of money before time.
Time, yeah.
Even if, like I said before, no matter how small you think the income is, if you're planning it, you're able to manage it better mm. than, like Bella and I were talking about this some days ago, and I was saying to her, I'm so used to planning my money now that even something as simple as going to run errands mm. is planned. So I don't go to the market, buy things, come back, then go somewhere else, then come back, then anything I'm doing in Wuse, I plan all of them together.
Do it in one day.
Thank you. Because the taxi, the petrol, the cost of transporting myself to Wuse and back, mm. in my mind, I've already calculated that that's money that I don't need to spend. Mm. So all my Wuse runs happens in one day. If I'm going to go to Asokoro, everything that's around that area happens in one day. Because Bella was trying to take me to Asokoro, then Garki, then Wuse, then I was like, young lady, nobody has the petrol for that. So we're going to do Wuse and then we're going to go back. Mm-hmm. We're not going to all the different places that we have to go to mm-hmm. because the cost of going back and forth is a cost. There's petrol to it. There's taxi to it. So something as small as that becomes clear when you plan. Also helps you look at things like, you know, networks that are giving special prices for data or phone calls. Mm-hmm. When you start to keep a record of how much you're spending and you start to plan financially, you can see that, oh, maybe what I can do is all my business messages, I can send them out on WhatsApp so that I save all the money that I could have spent with text messages. Mm. Planning helps you avoid getting to a point where your money is finished. It helps you prevent stress. Sometimes people don't look at their bank statement. They don't look at, and when I say bank statement, I'm talking about even the text that you get from the bank.
Debit alert, credit alert,
your history, the text history from your bank. Or when you physically go into the bank, as you know, you're allowed to get one free statement from your bank every month. So when you go into the bank and you request it, or some people don't even request it because they don't want to see. And they think that it gives them a peace of mind to not know. But the truth is, knowing where you stand financially actually gives you more peace of mind.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's almost like medicine. Some people avoid going to the doctor because they don't want to know. They just want to live happily, and then whatever happens should happen. But because in real life, you might have something that's treatable. You might have something that's preventable. So I go every year to get a physical checkup because then the doctor can tell me, oh, I can see your cholesterol is getting high. Cut down on fried plantain. So now I know what to do. Mm. I don't need to eat fried plantain again for the next 3 months or 6 months because my cholesterol is high. But if I don't go and check and the doctor doesn't see it, then they can't tell me. I can't avoid it. Mm. And by the time I hear about it, what will happen? It's worse. Mm. So with money, I want to know what's happening, because if I find out that I really don't have money every single time is the end of the month, I want to sit down and write down what am I spending my money on, then write down how much am I making to see what is the true position of my finances. Mm. If I'm not making enough to take care of my bills, hiding from it is not going to make it better.
Absolutely.
It's not going to pay my bills. All that will happen is along the line somewhere in life, I'll get embarrassed. Either somebody comes to jack me because I owe them money, or I want to borrow money and nobody will give me, or there's something I need to pay for, something serious like medical, and I have to go and beg people. So postponing the problem doesn't solve it. So the best thing to do is really go into the bank, get the statement of your, you know, the last month, and look at how your money is going. And for those people who trade more in cash, I'd encourage you to try and use your ATM more so that it can keep a track for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you write down, like we talked about last week, everything that you spend and everything that comes in. Mm. And then if you find that you don't have enough money, now you know you can do something about it. So please, financial planning actually helps you to reduce financial stress. And once you understand how much you earn and how much you spend, after a while, it'll become automatic, so that when someone wants you to spend some money, your mind already knows, can I afford it or not? And your mind can help you make a decision.
Absolutely.
The other thing that it does is it helps you avoid unexpected, shortage. So, for instance, because I know how my money comes in and what my expenditures are, when the time to pay my rent comes, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. I'm not worried because I knew it was coming because I was planning.
You planned for it.
Yes. Mm. When my credit is finishing on my phone, I know it's coming because I plan for it. When food is finishing in the house,
you plan for it.
You plan for it. Because I know, oh, my food will finish around like in 2 weeks' time or in 10 days. Or so even when someone says, oh, come out to eat and all that kind of stuff, in my mind, I'm like, I've bought all this food that I'm cooking that's going to last me for a week or two. Mm. I'm not going to go out because if I do and I don't eat the food at home, it's going to spoil.
Yeah.
So let me eat the one that I've already bought. That's going to last me another. So I'll tell the person, can we do it next week? Mm. Right? Only so that I will actually eat the food I have in the house so it doesn't spoil.
Waste, yeah?
So what I'm saying that to say is once you start getting into the habit of planning, you'll be shocked at the different areas that it affects, the different things that you do differently now that you know that you have a plan. But if you don't plan, like I said, 5K enters, you spend it. 7, you spend it. 2K, 1K. And then you wouldn't know that in a month you've spent so much money on things that you didn't plan for and things that you didn't budget for. So planning helps you prevent stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, bringing me to another question, Angie. So now, what should someone consider before making a financial plan?
Okay, so all of us, like I said, with everything that we're teaching, is all individual, right? Everybody has their own goals. Everybody has their own responsibilities and their own liability. So what I would consider would be different from you, Amobs, because I'm a parent. So I'm going to be considering things like my child. What are his needs? School fees, food, clothing, you know, even children do entertainment.
Yes.
For instance, children's birthday parties, he has to bring a gift. I have to plan that to know, okay, who are his cousins that he's close to and he's likely to go to their house for their birthday, and then what kind of gift can he give them? So my thing that I'll consider is, first of all, my child.
Okay.
What kind of school? How much is the school fees? What kind of recreation? So does he play football? If he plays football, does that mean I need to buy football boots? Or does he play a different sport? And do I need to buy t-shirts for that sport? Then if we're going to go there twice a week or once a month, do I need to pay transportation? And when we get there, is he going to eat a snack? All these things come together when I'm thinking about planning for my child. Then the next thing I need to plan for, and I'm sharing my personal one and we'll talk about you. I love to learn. So I have a budget for education and I use it to pay for short courses, courses that are 5 weeks, 1 month, 2 days, those short courses that improve my skill. For instance, I want to take another course on, you know, radio production, right? Because I want to do better, but I know it's not going to be free. So I plan that I have to put money aside so that sometime next year I can afford to take a course on, you know, radio production, that sort of stuff. So you look at what your needs are, and those are the things that you put into consideration when you're planning. So Omobs, you're a young guy.
Yeah.
You're a single guy.
Yeah.
So you're not worried right now about planning for your children, even though it's not out of place.
Yeah.
Some people can start planning for their children early, right? But right now is not an immediate plan for you. So the immediate things for you would be housing, food, transportation,
education.
Yes. So personal development, entertainment.
Absolutely.
Because you're a young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to go have a social life.
Out, yeah.
If you're dating someone, then you're also thinking about what you're going to do for the person that you're in a relationship with.
Yeah, that's much spending anyway.
Yes. So it could be birthday, Valentine, you know, Christmas, or it could be that you do something every week, or but whatever you end up planning, right? Then you've got to plan your phone, your data, your transportation. So you've got all your needs, and then you've got your wants. Clothing, right?
Yeah.
Christmas is coming. You might want to go and flex somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Your personal grooming, like your haircut and your glasses. Your glasses broke a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, you lost it.
Which, yeah, I lost it.
Right. So again, you're planning all those things. Health, right? You should have, you know, a little bit of money put aside so that if you need to go to a clinic, you've got money to buy medication. So all those things are the things that we look at, right? When we're planning, we look at how much, what our responsibilities are, and then how much those things cost, and then what we want. So like I said, for some people, it could be something as big as their rent. Some other people, it could be even bigger, like buying a house. Someone else, it could be something for their children. But we put all these things together in a plan and say, okay, by next year, I want to get married. I'm a young man. And so I need to plan the introduction, the, you know, ceremony. Then I need to find a bigger place or a better place because my wife and I are going to need more space. Or, you know, if you're already married and you want to have children, you could then start planning with your husband or your wife. Hey, honey, I think it'll be good for us to have kids, right?
Yeah. And
then your spouse can tell you, oh, I'm not ready because my job is not even permanent yet. Or I'm not ready because we don't live in a specific size of space yet. So if we start having children, where would they sleep? Now, these are conversations we don't really have, right? We just get married, we give birth, we move on with life.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that we can see the evidence in our lifestyle that it actually causes some amount of suffering.
Absolutely.
I was planned with my child. I knew I wasn't going to have any more than one. Because I knew that financially it's a lot to take care of children.
A lot, yeah.
So anytime people were like, oh, number two, I was like, no, thank you. Because I can't afford it. And there's nothing wrong with it. Because for me, I had to think about the fact that anytime you have children, it reduces your income because you're at home for a long time. So you're reducing your income, you're reducing your work experience, and then you also have an increase in expenditure because now you have a child.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something I was planning to do eight times or six times or four times. I was good with one. Now, another couple can decide that they want to have four, and that they want to space it out and have it every 2 years so that they can save up money to be ready for the child.
Yeah.
So with planning, you've got to look at your goals. Do you want to rent a place? Do you want to have more children? Do you want to pay some of your debts? Some people have had to borrow money to start a business. So when you think about all those things, if you want to build a house, you've got to plan it. And then, you know, obviously some people also have to plan their retirement.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
Because if you're working in a government organization, there's a retirement age that you have to get to and you leave. If you are running your own business, you can decide to keep on working. But if you're working for a company or a government organization, you have to retire. It's mandatory. So you've got to plan that retirement. So those are the kinds of things that people have to look into and consider when they're planning their financial future.
Wow, that's fantastic. NG, big ups to you. You've been spreading all the way, giving us all the buzz. I hope you guys out there are learning from this, because this is a fantastic education right here. You can only get that on Youth Radio Show.
That's right.
And you can only get that from NG. She know they finish. All right, NG, bring me to the next question. So now, what are the practical steps can someone take to... what are the practical steps can someone take in achieving financial planning?
Okay, so if you want to do like achieve your financial goals, there's some steps you should take, and I've mentioned them quite a few times. So the first thing is you need to budget, and preparing a budget means just, I'm not talking about cutting down spending now. I'm just saying budget, which means this is how much I spend, this is how much I need. Just like we have the national budgets, right?
Yeah.
Every ministry, department, and agency of the government says this is what is going to cost us to run our office for this year. So everybody submits their own. Mm. Now, if you're in a family setting, if you're the head of the household, or if you're in charge of the finances of the household, everybody in the house will submit their budget to you. Yes, we used to do it when we were kids.
Wow.
I used to submit my budget to my dad.
Wow.
Because he'll tell me, what do you need for school?
Okay.
So you go and write down provisions, and then you write down the list, you know, cornflakes, milk, sugar. Yes, and you write the list down. Then he'll read through it, and then he'll say, where's your miscellaneous? And I was like, what is miscellaneous? He was like, you should always add 10% of your total budget in case something happens. Okay. So you might go to the market and prices have changed, or something happens, and then... So anyway... Everybody in your family, if you're the head of the household, can submit their budget to you. So you have your little children telling you that, mommy, this year I want to go to dance class and it's 5,000 naira per term. Mm. So you add that. And then you can ask them, do you need any special shoes or clothes? Yes, we have to buy these special ballet slippers. Okay. Or we have to buy this special t-shirt so that we can look, you know, it's a hip-hop group. So we're wearing black and yellow t-shirt. And then you know, how much is the t-shirt? 1,500. How much is the membership? 5,000. How much is... So now your child's budget has been prepared, right? Mm. And then you know that with this age that they're in, they might outgrow the clothes that they're wearing. So you put a certain amount aside. Then your husband, or if you're the husband, your wife will come, tell you what her budget is for food, for, you know, utilities, upkeep, that kind of stuff. You put that down. Mm. Then you look at things like the family rent, transportation. So you create a budget. Mm. Once you've created that budget, you look at how much money you've got saved and how much money is coming in. So these are steps like we talked about. Then you can talk about the next thing to increase your income, acquire an asset. Wow. And last week we talked about assets. Mm. An asset is anything that brings money to you.
Okay.
That's the simplest definition.
What's the best asset someone can acquire?
It depends. So some people, property is the best asset for them because it gives them income, but they're not doing too much. So if you're a landlord, you can get money without, quote unquote, working every day. Right. Once you acquire this asset, that asset can bring you money every year. Other people might say, I don't like this asset. I'd rather get an equipment that I rent out to people. Okay. So they can get either farm equipment or, like we talked about before, a car. It could be a camera. I met a lady who had a camera, a drone camera, that she'll rent out to people every day. Mm. And she was like, by the time 5 people rented it, she had paid back the money she used to buy the camera.
Wow.
So you can rent equipment. And that way, it's an asset. And it's something that you like, you enjoy, you know people who want to buy it. Some people have land that they don't rent out, but they allow people use their land, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they split the proceeds. So if you're farming, they can get food, they can get fish, chicken, everything from your land. So there's no one best asset. Okay. It's what is best for you. When you look at
what
the time, yes, the time commitments you've got to put into it and all that kind of stuff, that helps you decide. Yeah. So in order for you to achieve your financial goals, the steps you take, like I said, do a budget. Find out exactly how much money your household needs to live on. Yeah. Acquire an asset. An asset could also be a skill, right? So your ability, like my ability to speak is an asset.
Yeah, it is.
And your ability to work these machines and these... tabs that we have here, yeah. That's an asset. Mm. So acquiring a skill could be an asset. Mm. And then once you acquire this asset, you can then sell the asset for money. You can rent it out. You can sell it in little bits. You can package it in different ways. Mm. Another thing that you could do is look at... And we're talking about now steps that you need to take to achieve your financial goals, right? Mm. So we've talked about saving. We've talked about acquiring an asset. Mm-hmm. Now, if your goal is something like maybe you're getting married and you don't want to get into debt, people do this already. You could have a committee of friends and they put money together to support you. But the other thing that you could do is have elements of your wedding. So for instance, I have friends who are event planners. Like there was a guy that I met who's an event planner. He had an amazing wedding. Mm. So I was saying to him, how could you afford all this? Yeah. He said, oh, because I'm an event planner, so, all these people are people who have used them before. I've used the caterer, the DJ, the this and that. Yeah. So some of them gave me for free their services. Mm. And some of them charged me a very small amount. So he was able to negotiate
with them
very good deals. Yes, that's right. So another thing is, if you don't have cash, you could actually negotiate with people who you've got a relationship with, who can support you in achieving some of your goals. Mm. Now, we talked about budgeting, we talked about acquiring an asset, we've talked about negotiating with people so that people can support you. And those are some ways that you could achieve your financial goals. Mm.
All right, bringing me to the next question. This one is very important for all. One day, as humans, we grow old and become, we no longer have strength to pursue as young as we used to. We don't have that energy anymore.
Right.
So now, how can we plan for our old age?
Okay, so I'll treat that very quickly. Mm. In order to plan for old age, every company that you work in, I think it's if they have 3 to 5 employees or more, then they're supposed to have a pension plan. I need to actually check the details of that, but I believe that. Now, if you're working full-time, your company should be able to provide you a pension plan, right? Mm. That you pay some money into, and then your company will match that amount of money. Mm. If you're working for the government, I'm almost guaranteeing that you will have
definitely
a pension plan.
Yeah. Does, sure.
Then you also have the possibility of a micro pension plan, which is where you set up your own pension plan.
Personally?
Yes. Okay. So if you're working for yourself, if you run your own business, you could contact a company that manages pensions, right? And they're called pension fund managers or pension fund administrators, and ask them that you want to set up a pension plan. And what that means is every month you'll be putting money aside, and that money will be used and invested so that by the time you're at retirement age, they'll start paying you something every month. Mm. The good thing is if you're not working though, you're able to get back 25% of what you've paid in your pension. So the money isn't like if you put it in, you might lose it or whatever it is. Mm. There are other ways that you could also secure your future, but starting up a pension plan with your employer or starting one for yourself will work. Mm.
All right, you're 10 Dalam Forces Radio. Time check 1 minute to 5:30. We've been talking about financial planning on Youth Arena Show with NG and Amops. Of course, NG has been educating us all the while. So we are about to round up on the program today. So NG, what's your last word?
All right, so the final thing I want to say about financial planning and budgeting is it's very easy. And it's very necessary. And I want everybody who's listening today to go and sit down at home, take 5 to 10 minutes and do your financial plan. Get a piece of paper out, write down all the expenses that your family incurs every month, and then write down your income so that you can see what's coming in and what's going out. Mm. If what is coming in is less than what is going out, bring in more. To bring in more, you need to cut down some of your expenses and you need to increase some of the assets that you have so that you can make more money. If what you have is more than what is going out, then you can start saving, investing, and setting up a pension plan. So please, guys, don't take it lightly. Listen very carefully. Do your budget and do your financial planning and make sure you set SMART goals, which are specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-bound. Mm. So I'm going to be back next week.
Yes.
This week seemed to have flown by. We're going to be back next week and we're going to be talking about savings.
Wow, savings. So,
that's right.
So do yourself a favor and tune into the station. Well, for today, we thank you for joining us on Youth Arena Show. Next week, God willing, we'll be back. And we are Youth Arena Show.
And you're listening to 107.7 FM. And this program, You and Your Money, is sponsored by the Bankers Committee. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Diva Thelma, a.k.a. Shanti, right in your speakers.
Don't use your phone while driving.
That call can wait.
This message is from Armed Forces Radio.